Welcome everybody to the Aris Meyer podcast. How are you doing today? With me, I have two very special guests today. They are two of my childhood friends that have come together to create a super awesome business that we will talk about at some point. They are Hanayo Diaz and Akemi Simpson. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
I know, we're so excited.
I've been waiting for so many episodes to get you two together, but you're so wildly successful now that it's hard to wrangle you. I feel lucky.
We were actually just talking before that if you had not told us to get on your podcast, we would have like hunted you down to be like, hey, you were going to feature us at one point on your podcast. We're stoked, yeah.
I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that. I'm happy that I reached out first. All right, so tell me a little bit about yourselves, where you grew up. Akemi first.
So I was born in Houston, Texas. So sometimes I say I'm a Texan girl, even though really I'm truly a California girl. And I was born and raised basically in Orange County, in California. This is such a loaded question, even though it's so simple, huh?
I mean, where you went to school, maybe.
So I have two younger sisters. I went to school at Sunny Hills High School. It's in Fullerton. And then I went to college actually in Cal State Fullerton too. I did like a church missionary work for 2 years in between that. Which is funny because even though people I understand like it's kind of like crazy, but in a sense, I feel like I learned a lot of good sales skills from that experience. So like it kind of helped me like career-wise down the road. After that, or how much detail do you want?
No, that's good. That's good. I want to know about your life pre-Aris, before you met me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh wait, before I met you.
Uh huh.
We don't need to.
But I feel like, can I be honest with you? And I were just talking about. I feel like I've known you literally my whole life.
Yeah.
I've known Hanayo. Like I have photos of like Hanayo and I in diapers, and like photos of her grandfather, like. Like that's how like long we've known each other, but I feel like honestly I've known you since I was like 6 years old. Like I feel like I don't remember not knowing you.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I've known you my whole life.
That's a great marker. That means that we have a real friendship, I think.
Yeah, I mean, do you not remember me?
I do. We're gonna get there. I want to know your journey, and then we'll get to when we met. I okay, definitely so do. I have vivid memory.
So I was born in Texas, moved to California, was basically born. I moved when I was like 2 years old, so I don't remember it at all. But sometimes I like to pretend I'm a cowgirl, which is the only reason why I'm like.
She goes to the Houston Texans.
Yes, my team is the Houston Texans.
What the heck? Wait, you're still a Lakers fan though, right?
Yeah, like hands down, Lakers and Angels fans. Yes, but I think football because Duran is so into football. I'm like, I just have to like have another team that's like, you know.
Yeah.
Against him. I don't know why competitive. So I chose the Houston Texans.
Okay. Okay. And, I'm gonna let that slide.
Yeah.
Beyonce is from Houston, so it's allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say something that you don't like because I know you're a Dodgers fan, but I was for the Houston Astros.
All right. So we're gonna wrap up this podcast now. Thank you for Oh my God. All right, Hanayo, tell me a little bit about you. I'm salty now. Tell me about you before you met me. God, who are you?
Sorry about it. So I was born in Southern California, raised here my whole life, didn't move anywhere really. I'm the oldest of four, so I have three younger brothers. We're both the oldest. Mm-hmm. And then we both went to Cal State Fullerton. And I also did a year of missionary work in between high school and college. I just did 1 year, not the 2 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else. Is that good?
All right. So we'll get to the most important part. When I remember meeting you guys, and then you could tell me your first impressions of me if you remember.
Okay.
I remember meeting both of you in LA church when I was a kid. My dad bribed me and Jove to go. We had never been to church before ever, and then he bribed us to go to San Diego, and then a couple months later he bribed us to go to Los Angeles, and it was in like a fish market, I think, or like a fish warehouse or something.
It probably was True World Foods. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember I went there and I like started meeting people, and I met Dannery, who's one of my best friends, And he started kind of giving me like the who's who of like all the kids. So I remember he told me about Akimi, and he was like, okay, that's Akimi. She's really bossy. Don't make her mad. And that was like the first thing I ever learned about you. And then when he told me about Hanayo, he's like, that's Hanayo. She's really nice. She's cool. And that was the full descriptions of both of you that I got. And then but yeah, and then I remember later like going to summer camps and like just hanging out with you guys. And you know, me and Joe were like kind of outsiders. We didn't grow up in the church, but you two were two people that I remember like being immediately so kind and warm to us, like when we would take summer trips as kids and go to like camps or different things. So all of my childhood memories of you guys are like very like, oh, these are like my best friends. You know?
Yeah, and it's funny because I listened to one of your podcasts. I was telling you now, I cannot remember the guy's name. He was interviewing you, and you were
Elgin Strait, yeah. The Falling Out podcast.
Yes, and it was funny because when you were talking about it, I didn't realize like your early childhood before we had met you. Because to me, I feel like I always just remembered you. Like we'd go to camps together, we'd go to Sunday school together, and it was just like. I don't, like almost every childhood memory has you and Joby in it. Like, and even like the way I remember you guys, when you guys, like you used to wear like baggy pants, baggy clothes. And I remember Joby had like, it almost looked like he bleached his hair. Like he bleached his hair, even though he didn't.
It was natural. Like, he was always outside because he's a little beach boy.
Yeah, that's like totally how I remember you guys. And I don't, for some reason, I don't ever remember you guys being different. Like, and it makes me sad that that's how you guys felt, but like for some reason, like with me, like I don't remember, like
I feel like you guys were like the cool guys. Yeah, like I feel like everyone was like, oh yeah, that's Aris and Joe, like they're cool and they're brothers, and like you guys are so different, but like everyone loved you guys so
and
much.
I remember we really like connected a lot on like hip-hop,
totally,
yeah, yes. Like, all that stuff, yeah, yep. You know, not a lot of the other people I felt like listened to that type of music, but like we did. And yeah. Actually, that's the other thing too. And now that I think about it, I feel like a lot of the boys, except Dannery, like a lot of them didn't talk to us. I feel like they were like, oh, they're girls, like we can't talk to them.
Yeah.
But like there was a few that were like, oh, like no, you guys are totally humans, we can talk to you.
Yeah, I remember as kids that was like a thing in the church, kind of like brothers and sister, boys and girls, and there wasn't that much intermixing.
Right.
Like especially people like Andrew and Jesse that were like, girls are stupid, why would you ever talk to them? And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go talk to them. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not down with that. But yeah, I just remember you guys always being so sweet to me. And I remember like we would be in the RV and I would have like my Walkman, or Akimi would have hers, and we would listen to music together. I remember that. It's funny because I remember we used to listen to Keith Sweat. We were big Keith Sweat fans. And then a couple years ago, I went to your birthday.
And
I gave you a Keith Sweat CD, and I remember your husband Duran, he opened it, and Keith Sweat is like pretty sensual music. Like, you know, if you don't know the story, it's kind of weird somebody showing up and giving your wife a Keith Sweat CD. But you know, like when we were listening to it, we were in like seventh grade, so we didn't really, we knew it was like about love, but we didn't know, you know what I mean? Like totally. The symbolism was like lost on us.
Totally.
But yeah, those are like my memories of you guys. Do you remember meeting each other as kids?
Gosh, we were like in diapers.
Yeah, because like I'll see photos of like Kanaya like at her birthday parties and like us in diapers. So I feel like she was just like, I feel like it was like a cousin. Like I've always just known her. Yeah. There was never a time where I was like, hi, I'm Kanaya.
Yeah.
Even with you, like I don't feel like there was ever a time where I was like, hi, I'm Akimi, your heiress. I felt like we just kind of like.
Yeah. I will say though, growing up, because Akimi's younger sister Takako, she was closer in age to me. So Takako and I, you know, just naturally, like we were closer, like a little bit growing up. And I remember Akimi was like older and they were like the cool girls, you know, she had a little posse of those older girls. And even though they're like a grade or two older.
That's right. Yeah. Cause like, I had Jeannie and
And they were like, Akimi was like the cool older, like sister. And I always like looked up to like, oh my God, she's so cool. Like all those girls are so cool.
They definitely had their mean girl squad of like the quote unquote LA girls. Right? And it's funny because I always tried as hard as I could to be in everybody's good graces. Like I never tried to, especially with girls, like be offensive. And I would just see somebody do something wrong and all of you guys would turn on them. And I was just like, grab the popcorn, like I'm ready to watch. You're about to get ripped up by the hyenas. Like but I remember that posse for sure.
Now that I think about it, I remember that. And I don't know. I try not to be very mean, but
I wouldn't say they were mean girls. They were just like the cool girls.
Yeah. All right. So tell me about college. So we did mission trips. Hanayo, did you do STF? Did you do your mission trip after?
I did STF for a year.
Yeah, she had like the world record of how much money to make in a day for like a decade.
What?
Think anybody ever broke that record?
I don't think they ever did.
My biggest record was like $400 in a day.
I mean, like quadruple.
It was like $3,000 in one day.
What? Selling in what?
Selling wind chimes. Oh,
that's insane.
Like literally that day, nobody said no to me. Anybody I went up to was like, yes. I've been waiting for you. Like it was crazy.
That's so crazy.
But yeah, I just did a year.
Wow. Okay. So after that, did you guys went to college together or separate?
So I am 1 year older than her, and I did 2 years of the missionary work. So I think I did community college first, yeah. And then I went to Cal State Fullerton. So if I remember, I think we were at Cal State Fullerton for a year at the same time, but for some reason, I don't ever think our classes really it's a commuter school, so it's not like a big like sorority campus. It's like, I felt like I would go to my classes and then I would leave. Like it wasn't like I didn't join like any groups or anything. It was just like a get your degree and move on.
And what did you get your degree in?
I got my degree in finance.
In finance? What about you, Hannah?
Advertising.
Advertising. Wow. So even without knowing it, you two were kind of, the wheels were kind of starting to move. Mm-hmm. You're both making little moves. So when did you, what kind of jobs did you have? Obviously I'm leading up to you guys working together.
Yeah.
But what kind of jobs did you have before you worked together?
So I worked at a bank because I was, my major was finance.
Why do I feel like I remember that?
Yes. Working at a bank. My major was finance and I like minored in real estate and I like wanted to get into like banking and like, I was just like really into like, I don't know. I was like, I think banking is like the way to go. So I did banking for years. I want to say like 7 years I was in banking. And then I don't know, all of a sudden something hit me and I was like this, I just wasn't happy in it. And I was like, it's not something I'm going to excel in. And I just did a total like left turn. And then, our friend Amina at the time, Amina and Maria, they were teaching English in Korea. And they were like, you should come and, you know, teach English. And I was like, and literally, I feel like they were there maybe for like 3 or 4 months. Cause I think Maria had just gotten blessed in Korea with Chris. And she's like, we're going to stay and like, you know, teach English for a year. And I literally, I think I put in like a 2 week notice. And then I like literally flew to Korea and taught English for 6 months.
For 6 months?
For 6 months.
What was that like? Did you like living in Korea?
Obviously my mom is from Japan. So I thought, I think Japan, Korea, you know, they're kind of close together. I was like, I've been to Japan countless of times. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'll adjust to Korea pretty quickly. But I realized like each culture is so, so, so different. So it did take me a while to like adjust to different customs and cultures and stuff, but I actually loved Korea. Like I loved it. Like I still wish thinking about going back. But I loved it. I loved the people. I loved like just the transportation, like everything was just so much fun. And even our good friend Mara was there too. So we would visit him on weekends and stuff. It was just so much fun. I felt like it was like a really simple life, which is what I needed at the time because I felt like I was kind of going through like a career change.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember even thinking, cause like, I don't even remember how many hours I worked, but I felt like I had so much time to kind of like write in my journal and like go on walks and kind of just like think what I wanted to do. And it was nice because I still had good friends there. Like Maria was there. And like I said, Mauro, I feel like we saw him like probably at least once a month. Like we would go all the way down to where he lived or he would come up to Seoul where we were. So it was just nice to have good company. But then at that time, so towards the end of my 6 months, I was talking to my sister and I was like, I think when I get back, I want to open up my own business. I was like, I don't know what it is, but I'm like, I'm like, after all my like soul searching, I'm like, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm like, I feel like I just really want to like develop something and start something. And then I guess she had talked to Hanayo like a week after or something, or maybe a week before. And she was like, hey, she's like, you should talk to Hanayo. And I was thinking about opening up her own business too. And sure enough, like 6,000 miles away on a Skype call, we had decided we were going to start a business together when I got back. So
that's is that how you remember it, Hanaya? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
What kind of business did you guys?
California. I didn't do much traveling, like, you know, not really out of the country or anything.
Uh-huh.
So I was just here serving. I did a lot of serving and bartending. I just went, you know, had a couple restaurant jobs. And I was over having a boss because my dad became his own boss. And I'm like, I don't want a boss. Like, I hate being told what to do. So I have to be my own boss. So what the hell am I going to do? And it was just like a thought. And yeah. And so Kimi was in Korea and she Skyped me and asked, and I'm like, well, the only thing I know how to do is bake because I love to eat. So,
holla.
And this is when cupcakes were like booming, like cupcake businesses were booming all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, why don't we do cupcakes, but let's make a spin on it. And I don't know if I'm getting ahead of you.
No, this is exactly where I wanted to be. What I remember is,
let's like put a spin on cupcakes. Let's do something different that nobody else is doing. Like, what can we add to our business that would make it like super exciting? And we're like, booze. So,
and this is, we were like young and like going out drinking, like all that stuff. So we were like, cocktails, cupcakes, like this is the way to go.
Yeah,
so
that's what I remember. Like, the initial hop of cupcakes was like alcohol infused.
Yep.
And it was like the logoing and everything was like kind of sexy, like want to get some, like
Well, actually, want to get some is still part of the logo.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But we had to kind of change our branding because we were like black and pink. It was so weird.
Yeah. Well, it was funny for me because the way that we grew up was like very puritanical. And then, you know, like I said, you two are like my childhood friends. So when you started talking, you know, I would see like you guys talking about your business or on social media or whatever. And I was like, ooh, alcohol. Ooh, sexual innuendo. What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. We made like sexual names for our cupcakes. My husband came up with one for the Oreo. It's called My Cookie Makes You Cream.
Oh,
like, we were all in it. Like,
yeah.
And then, but then it's funny because that's how we started off. We're like, we're going to be sexy. It's going to be so different. And then we realized people didn't really like relate sexy to like a cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of had to tone it down and like change it a little bit, but it was good because I felt like it kind of got us first like notice. It was just like, oh, you guys are different. Like, what makes you different? So it was, I have to say it was a good tactic at first, but then we kind of had to like, just, you know, evolve a little bit.
Yeah. And for the people out there, can you tell them what does the name of your company is Hapa Cupcakes. What does that mean? What's a Hapa?
So Hapa it started in Hawaii. It's a term that at first it was just like half Japanese, half white, very specific. But as time has gone on, it's evolved to just be like somebody who's mixed race. And we mix alcohol into our cupcakes. So we kind of just did like a play on words and just did Hapa. And honestly, we always dreamt that it would be as big as it is, but I don't think we ever really realized how big it is. So we're like, oh my gosh, like, it's just crazy, like how big now people just call us Hapa. They don't even say cupcakes. People just know, like, hey, I'm gonna go to Hapa. Mm-hmm. So it's just become this, you know, big thing.
Yeah, like I remember in the beginning when we first opened, and people would be like, they'd be like, oh my gosh, Hapa, and like we were like even surprised like how much we got that like word on trend and just all that stuff. Like we didn't really plan for it to be as big as it is.
Yeah. Did you feel like when you guys were starting your business, as you know, women of color, did you feel like it was harder for you guys or there were roadblocks in that industry or in general?
So I feel like in general, in any business, I have to say, I don't know how much I felt it in terms of being like Asian. I felt like it was more being just women in general. Like, I can't tell you how many times like we were taken advantage of. Like every single male thought that we had like daddy's money and we had all this money to spend. And, you know, like, I felt like they would just like quota 10 times higher. Like we have like our first location was 400 square feet and we got like, oh, we need to do construction, it's gonna be $60,000. We were like,
Jesus,
it's crazy. So we ended up having to find people that we really trusted to help us, but I felt like that was kind of like the biggest thing. And of course we did meet like amazing people along the way as well too, who I felt like because we were women, they were willing to kind of be like, oh, you know, like we'll help you, or you know. But yeah, but I feel like at the end of the day, like honestly, owning a business, you're going to get like obstacles and hurdles and all that stuff, but you just have to like, just, you know, just have to swallow it and keep going.
How many of the initial recipes were your guys's? All of them? the initial cupcakes. And Akemi, growing up, I don't remember you cooking or baking very often. Do you feel like you're a big contributor in the baking part of the business?
How insulting. I'm just kidding. No, so I have like learned, I mean, it's funny because I remember growing up, like I baked. I mean, I feel like I had a cookbook that my aunt gave me that I would like cook chocolate cake and certain stuff. But Hanayo, like in our friend group, Hanayo was the baker. I'm like not lying to you. Valentine's Day, I mean, Halloween, any holiday you could think of, Hanayo would literally present all the girls like phenomenal desserts. Like I remember she would make like cupcakes with cookies on top and like, I mean, like literally the stuff that she baked us, it was like unreal. And because like I said, I would bake like a chocolate cake, but like, you know,
yeah,
my sister's birthday, like nothing crazy. Like I felt like hers was just like aesthetically pleasing and it was delicious. And I would literally ask her, I'd be like, wow, did you bake this? And she'd be like, yes. Like, she's like, yes. Like, what else do you think I did?
Yeah.
If you remember correctly, I was chubby when I was little. I love to eat.
Look, I wasn't going to say it, but I remember that when me and Dannery and the boys would get down, and I would get down with us.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't playing around. She was chubby, cute. She used to wear a visor. She was Orange County Hanayo.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. We always talk about how I have all these like old photos of us, like truly trying to be gangsters. Like,
oh, I mean, yeah.
Our visor upside down, like baggy clothes. I mean, it was.
Yeah. It was like all of the people that were older than us thought it was really cool. So I think a lot of us, that's where we got our like style from, and our, you know, you just copy whatever's like cool. But it was like a weird, like Asian gangsters almost.
Right.
Like all the people that were older than us.
Now that you say that, that is actually probably exactly what it was, because like Ace and Tomo and all them, like they were like super into that stuff. So yeah, I think we kind of just like, we're like, oh, that is cool. And we just, I don't know. Sometimes when I look at the photos, I'm like cringing. I'm like,
I love it. Those are good memories for me. I mean, that's just who we were at the time. You know, we were 90s kids.
Do you remember, I was saying this when I was giving my speech at Hanayo's wedding, but do you remember we used to do talent shows and like you and Justin would do your rap and then Hanayo, me, Hanayo, Chigako, Sunny, Stephanie, like we would do our like dance or like hip hop dance.
I do remember that. I totally remember that.
Oh my god, I know what I was like. It's like a lot of people don't know this about Hanayo. I'm like, I need to tell
everybody. Oh, my husband makes fun of me all the time because my brothers will tell him about how I used to be.
Yeah,
my voicemail used to be a rap with like all
of them. Oh, I love it.
Like, yo, you reached Hanayo's cell phone, leave him this, you know. And it was like, and so my brothers will tell my husband about it. He cannot get enough. He cannot. It's just,
oh my god, I have some pictures for him. If you don't have enough, I have some classic childhood pictures.
Oh my god, I bet you he would love to see them.
Oh my god.
I actually remember one time Hanayo and I were baking and we were like thinking about you, and do you remember one time we left you a voicemail with the, remember we were like bulgogi bulgogi?
Oh my god.
For the listeners, when I was in the church, me and my friend Justin made like a rap album that was like very, used a lot of the church words and stuff. That's what they're making fun of.
Oh,
it's
so good
about.
I still have it. I
oh
love
my god.
It.
Amazing.
Yeah, those were, I mean, those are fun days. I think back on those days sometimes and miss like the community and, you know,
yeah,
the freedom and being around each other.
Yeah.
It was just cool, I think, to just like be who you were and like not, you know, like, and you were comfortable in it. Like, people should be comfortable in their own skin regardless of what it is, you know.
100%. So getting back to your business a little bit, so you started this business together and then you opened your first storefront in Fullerton, right?
Yes.
And can I just say a quick story about before we opened up our storefront?
Yes, please.
Is that Akemi and I, so Cupcake Wars on Food Network was like a huge show at the time. And so we were like, let's get on Cupcake Wars because that's going to be the stamp of approval. You know, people are going to be, oh, they were on Cupcake Wars. Okay, that's cool. So we were still working our jobs. Akemi was working the bank and I was bartending. And we're like, let's get on Cupcake Wars. We got on there. We filmed. We're like, okay, it's gonna air this summer. The day it airs, let's quit our jobs because we're gonna blow up. It's gonna be insane.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally put in our 2 weeks, we quit our jobs, Cupcake Wars airs, and not one single order, not one single phone call, not one single, like nothing.
We actually we got one email that said, do you ship?
No.
And we didn't ship.
And the rest were just creepers trying to like find out who we were on Facebook.
You know, yeah, of course.
But that was it. So that was before we had surgery. We're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
We both don't have jobs now.
Was that so I remember going to like a pizza party. There was like a pizza place. And that was like the first time everyone got to see it. And I was like, I remember sitting there going like, holy shit, like these girls are on TV, like they're doing something. This is really cool. And I don't know if that's the first time I ever had your cupcakes or not, but
you might have had them before. I feel like we probably brought them over to like Sherry, Aunt Sherry's house or something.
Yeah, but it was I would like, I mean, I'm a big boy when it comes to desserts. Like I'll run the gamut, and I remember being so impressed by your guys's like cupcakes and cake.
They're pretty damn good.
They're really good, and they're like the other thing is, they're mad professional looking. Like when I'm on your social media, or me and my brother visited your shop, your second shop that you opened.
Yeah, I have one of them.
Yeah.
Like looking at the stuff in the counters, I was just like, holy crap! Like, it's legit. You know, it's not like somebody in the front of their house selling lemonade. It's like real deal desserts.
Okay, but we did start there. Like, I feel like that's how it always is. Like, you really have to like start with the grind first. You know, like, yeah, we had to like do all of that stuff to really, you know, get it to look professional, get the right recipes down and the toppings and all that stuff. But yeah, now we're obviously a legit business for sure. But in the beginning, yeah, it had its bumps and its hurdles for sure.
What do you feel like have been the hardest challenges for you two as friends working together?
And people have asked us this question a lot, and honestly, I think because we're different and because we like play off of each other's, like we have the same values and the same work ethic, which is nice, but we're different in terms of what our strengths are. So that makes it like super easy to work with her. I feel like our biggest challenge is never really like each other. Our biggest challenge is like employees. I don't know how much that, but like, I mean, our employees are amazing, but it's like some of the employees sometimes can give us a headache, or like sometimes we have like a customer issue that sometimes kind of gets a little bit out of hand, but like, though, I mean, but that's like any business, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to work on operations better, or like, you know, making sure that the budget is in check that month. But those are kind of, I feel like those are our biggest challenges. Like in terms of Hannah and I working together, like, I mean,
we've gotten pretty lucky.
Yeah. I was going to say we might've just hit the jackpot.
Because we've had plenty of people say, don't go into business with your best friend. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. Even people say, don't go into business with your family. You know, we've heard all of it.
Yeah.
So, but we just were like, well, F you, we're going to do it anyway.
That's the move.
Yeah. And I think because we have like similar values, it like helps like that. Like, we don't have to question, like, I trust her with anything. Like, there's not like, I'm, you know, like, I trust is a huge thing. So other than that, I'm like, I don't really need to like question anything else. And then our strengths are like different. So like what her strengths are, my strengths aren't necessarily. So like, you know, we kind of just like work off of each other really well. So
do you guys feel like when you were starting, were there people that tried to get you to not pursue this dream?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even like, they wouldn't say it like directly, like don't start it. They like do it really like slidings, or like just like kind of like the nudging, like, are you sure you're gonna be another cupcake company, you know, like,
nice. I did have one person in my life say, don't start a bakery, because when she was younger she tried to start one and it failed. She straight up told me, do not start a bakery, it will fail.
And then you were like, taste these cupcakes, girl, I'm gonna change your mind.
So that happened to me, but for the most part I agree with Kimi. If anybody was negative about it, it was just more so like, oh, that's cool, like, oh, that's a cute hobby, you know what I mean? So, you know, and then the only thing you can do is just succeed, right?
Yeah. Do you guys feel like, so you have two storefronts now, you have a lot of followers online, great reviews, great products. Do you feel like there are things that you want to say to the younger generation of women and women of color that are trying to push their way forward in this world? Like, do you guys have a message to those girls?
I mean, I feel like I say it to everybody, but just do it. Like, whatever you want to do, just do it. And you can do it. Like, of course there's going to be challenges, and of course there's going to be like pushback and negativity and all that stuff, but you can do it. Like, honestly, I really truly believe anybody who wants to start anything, they can do it. They just have to like be determined to really see the full thing out and just don't give up. which sounds cliche, but I really believe that.
Yeah, and it's true. It's like that moment you want to give up, you have to keep pushing forward. And that's the moment that makes the difference, I think.
Dope. Well, on top of being best friends, on top of having a successful business, you are both also mothers. And I know that you are both hard workers. You push really hard. What has it been like, first of all, having kids, and how have you been able to balance being as successful as you are with also having families?
Well, I think that, I mean, I only have a 3-month-old, so I feel like Kiwi has a lot more to say to that. Uh-huh. But I will say, like, for both of us, our husbands, Thomas and Duran, are huge help. But I'm going to let Akemi take that because I've only been doing this for 3 months. She's been doing this for 5 years. And she's seriously, I tell her all the time, like, I am so amazed by the way she can balance kids. And they also have a life, kids, like school and playtime, and then also work. And then on top of that, when we're home, we're still getting text messages and emails and stuff from employees and customers. So it doesn't just stop when we're at, you know, at the stores, it follows us home, and we'll wake up to like 15 text messages and all of that. But I'm going to let her kind of handle that question.
I feel like it kind of evolves. Like in the beginning, like, I feel like you have to prioritize, like certain times of the day. Like when I'm at work, I'm at work. And then it's true. Like, I mean, we get text messages all day. People are like, oh, like when you come home, it's not like a normal 9-to-5 job. Like when we come home, like we'll have something else will come up, or there's this issue or something. So there's a lot of things that we still have to like kind of attend to. Mm-hmm. We used to have bakers that would be there till midnight. So sometimes, I mean, we used to be literally, I'd be on my phone like 11:30, like kind of trying to, you know, fix a problem or an issue or answer questions. But one, I feel like I have to prioritize, like sometimes when I work, and then sometimes at home, I really just have to like shut off my phone. Like somebody's just gonna have to wait on that answer or whatever the case is, because especially now as my kids are older, they notice stuff like that. Like they're just like, you know, and even Katai will be like, Mom, why are you ignoring me? So sometimes I'm like, okay, I have to put my phone down. Like, this is just not a priority. Like, and it, sometimes it isn't, like whatever they're asking, I'm like, this can wait like 30 minutes. Like, you know, it's not a major priority. But we've also, I feel like, as a business, we've also learned to evolve a lot in terms of like having the employees kind of make some decisions so that they don't have to text us all the time. Like in the beginning, I want to say like 3 years ago, we used to get texts like every 10 minutes. It was insane. Where now it's like the employees kind of, they've taken the initiative to like critically think and be like, you know what, I can solve this by myself and all that stuff. But I think it's just a combination of a lot of stuff to answer it easily. Shortly. Like, I feel like you have to prioritize and then balance. Like, I've now, like, a lot of the work that I would typically do during the day, I like do it when my kids are asleep so that I can spend time with my kids. Because obviously that is like a huge, like the whole reason why I feel like we even got into the business is that we want to spend time with our children. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that I'm, you know, when I'm with my kids, I'm like present and, you know, I'm giving them my undivided attention, and my husband too. Yeah. So I think it's just a combination of, yeah, like prioritizing, balancing it. And then, yeah. And then giving our employees kind of more responsibility so they don't feel like they have to like rely on us all the time.
Yeah. I think that that's important. I know in the jobs that I've had in the past, it's easy to just feel like you go to a job and they're going to pay you no matter what you do. So you kind of just mail it in sometimes. But I feel like the more kind of pressure that was put on me in slow increments, to grow, like I took it more serious and it helped grow me as a person, whether it was customer service or working with money or whatever it was. Do you guys feel like your employees have like a pretty nice, like kind of growth when they work with you, like a mentorship almost?
Our employees are extremely spoiled, if I can just be totally honest.
That's what everyone wants to hear. That's the best kind of boss.
And here's the thing. We can say that because we've been employees ourselves. We've been employed since we were in high school. You know, both worked our asses off for everything we've gotten. We've never had anything handed to us. We've had our bosses along the way. And, you know, you see your bosses who you love, and then the ones who you, you know, don't really get along with, or, you know, you struggle with, or, you know, you don't like the way that they lead. And so we've learned from that. And so we try to take all the positive things we've learned from the people that were our bosses and be that. So that's what we can say. Our employees are spoiled.
No, I mean, that's
scared of them, but we also expect them to work hard and to perform and to go above and beyond, because that's part of like our business. So
yeah,
I think the biggest thing to me, like I hated being micromanaged. Like I did so much better if somebody was like, here's a task, get it done. And I'm not going to sit here on top of you and like, you know, see every little detail that you did. So we really don't micromanage our employees. I feel like we are like really big believers on like, not like necessarily like condemning them all the time, but rewarding them for their good behavior or their good decisions that they make. But yeah, I have to say all of our employees, like we have a good, a lot, like I want to say like 90% of our employees get paid way more than minimum wage, but they all started as a cashier and they've all really like, you know, our head cake decorator started as a cashier. And I mean, we trust her so many things, but that's a huge thing with us too. It's like, if you stay and you commit and you like show us what you're interested in doing, like we will have you be a cake decorator. We will have you frost cupcakes. You could, you know, be a baker and do all those things. So I feel like, yeah, we really like to like, you know, promote within.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Just kind of, yeah. Treat our employees the way that we would like to be treated if we were employees.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I think that's, I wish a lot of people would follow that business model. Cause I feel like a lot of jobs people go to, they just feel stuck, you know?
Well, and that's the other thing that we always believe too, because people used to ask us all the time, they're like, how do you get employees to stay? Like, and honestly, at the end of the day, you just have to pay them more, and you should, like, you should pay them what, you know, they're worth and what they deliver and all that stuff. And of course, you know, they have to deliver it. Sometimes we're just like, you know, we do at the end of the day, there is budgets and finance and all that stuff that's involved, but like, when our employees do a phenomenal job, like they should be rewarded.
Yeah, that's cool. This is a side question I was just thinking about, but have your kids ever had non-Hapa cupcakes for their birthday? Like, do you ever just to remind them like what the real world is, bring them like a Ralph's like cheap sheet cake just to be like, this is the life you could have had? No, they only get the good stuff.
Damn. Even my parents and like Duran, like never, they've never not had a non-Hapa birthday. The only thing is my sister, Takako, she is like, cause she's a full-time working mom. So for her, she's like, I want, like, she'll like sit there and bake her own cake and bake the frosting and make the cake for her child's, for sure, children's birthday. Sometimes I get offended. I'm like, come on, like, let me just make the cake. Like, let me just make it. But I think for her, like, I understand what she's like. She wants to like put her labor of love into the cake for her kids. But she's maybe the only person. Sometimes I'll bring cupcakes or cookies, but she's the only person. But she kind of gets a pass because she's baking it. It's not like she's going out and buying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, my kids will never not have a Hapa birthday.
Damn.
And Katai asked for 3 cakes this year.
Young king. I like it. He deserves it.
What's ironic, though, is that both of our wedding cakes were not Hapa. And it's because we both got married out of California.
Dang.
So you can't really ship the cake.
I know.
You were thinking about it for a minute.
I was thinking about bringing our cake decorator with us to Mexico to do the cake.
Damn, I think you guys have made it. I mean, to say that out loud, like, you guys are doing all right. You know what I mean? That's cool. All right. Is there anything else? Actually, where can people find you guys if they want to order from you or if they want to go to one of your stores?
So we do have a website. We do ship cookies nationwide. So you can go to www.hapacupcakes.com. And then if you're local or visiting Southern California, we have 2 locations, 1 in Brea and 1 in Fullerton.
And follow us on social media because we're huge on there. We love our social media. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I've been to your store in Brea. It was so cool. I went to the grand opening, me and my brother. And like, we got some free cakes. We got to take a cute photo. It was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome that you guys came.
I know.
Yeah, got like the behind the scenes tour. It was really cool. All right, ladies.
And you know what's crazy is that we actually, like, I think we did a couple cookies for some of Jovi's events.
Too. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of his, I can't remember who it was.
He was doing some stuff down here. He's Brooklyn based, but he was here working with Google, I think.
Well, it was Google Ventures. That's right. GV. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We've shipped a couple like sugar cookies and stuff that he needed. I miss Jovi. I always wish, like, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, like,
he's doing it big now.
He is. I'm super proud of him. We spent some time together 2 weeks ago. My grandmother passed and he flew out and we were out in the Murrieta area near Temecula for like 8-9 days. And it was so cool to to just like hang out, you know. But he's so New York now, so when he comes back to California, he's just kind of like,
ever put a pair of rainbows on ever again, I think.
No, he has rainbows. So I'm from San Clemente. What I was talking about is rainbow sandals come from San Clemente. So last time we were there, we went to the rainbow factory and like we got him, you know, new ones. Awesome. I went in there for me to buy new ones, and then he was looking. And they're so big now, and they have so many different brands.
Yeah.
So we were in there for a while, but I bought him some because he has his like place on Fire Island, and I was like, dude, you need sandals if you're gonna be on Fire Island.
Yeah.
You know, you got to represent home.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he's got his sandals.
No, it's so funny. I like remember the two of you, even though you guys live totally on two different coasts now. Like I just remember the two of you guys, you know, always together.
We've been inseparable. I mean, this is how close we were as kids. We literally grew up in a one bedroom apartment, and me and him slept on couches next to each other in the living room. That was like our bedroom for the majority of our lives. Wow. So yeah, we were pretty close as kids. Wow. Single room living will do that to you. But yeah, it's cool whenever I see him. It's, you know, like nothing's changed.
Yeah. I know. And we can have a little reunion again. Okay.
Yeah. When COVID is over, I mean, I want to see everybody for sure. And I'm sure everyone feels like that too, you know, just like trapped a little bit.
Yeah. I know.
But it'll happen.
It will.
Yeah. We'll all right. Yeah. Is there anything you guys would like to say to the people before the lightning round begins?
Thanks for listening to us.
Oh my God.
I'm not very interesting. So it's like, who wants to listen to us?
Everybody does.
Actually, I would like to tell all the listeners that you guys missed out because before we recorded, we had a 1-hour gossip session.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which that was really exciting.
That might be a new podcast we're going to have to do. We'll call it LA Girls and it'll just be us gossiping. Oh my God. All right. So here we go. The lightning round. I have a couple of questions for you guys that I did not tell you were coming, and you each have to answer them. All right. Question one. If aliens came to Earth and we're going to blow this whole world up and you had to offer them one item from Papa Cupcakes to try to change their mind, what would you offer them?
Cake stuffed cookies.
Cake stuffed cookies. That's your best item.
Yeah, it's a pretty good item. See, I would give them my favorite one because I'm obsessed. I literally ate this cupcake every day for like 3 years. Kahlua. But the Kahlua cinnamon sugar cupcake.
Kahlua cinnamon sugar.
You're like, here you go.
All right. Those are good answers. All right. Next question. The aliens are going to blow up this world and only you two can save it. You have to karaoke one song together. What song would you guys choose to karaoke together to save the world?
I was just going to say the same thing. Spice Girls, for sure.
Which one? Wannabe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We sang that at church camp 1 year, FYI.
Oh, my God. How did we get away with singing Wannabe at church camp?
I don't know. Okay, hold on. I remember somebody who will not be named saying, when two become one. At church camp.
To another, like, counselor.
And for those who don't understand what two become one, it means when they're having sex.
Oh, my God.
And she got away with that.
We were so naive. I mean, I'm sure that we didn't even, like, or maybe you guys did. Maybe I was just naive. But
no, we were just as naive.
It's like her and God are becoming one. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. All right. Spice Girls Wannabe. Okay. If you guys could have one celebrity endorsement for Hoppa Cupcakes, what celebrity would you guys want to endorse you?
Ooh, I kind of have two, but I have only one.
You could say both.
I would say Chrissy Teigen and Rihanna.
I was going to say Chrissy Teigen too.
Chrissy Teigen and Rihanna. Why Chrissy Teigen?
We actually reached out to Chrissy Teigen.
Really?
Because she's from Orange County originally. She grew up in HB.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think she was discovered there.
In Huntington
and
Beach.
And she's Hoppa. She's mixed.
I should actually get on that. I'm going
to
get on that.
So again. Yeah, we actually have reached out to her before, but obviously she's got so many followers. She's not going to pay attention to little old us. But
and she actually doesn't like desserts. She only likes like carrot cake or something like that. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like this. She looks like she likes desserts. Hello.
I know. And she does a cookbook and everything, but yeah.
And the other one was Rihanna, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose Rihanna? Yeah, me too. That's why I was like, yeah, okay. Let me know. I'll be there to help you in any way that I can. Oh my God. All right, last question. If you could fight any famous celebrity, who would you fight?
God.
I mean, maybe you guys don't want to fight anybody. I don't know.
I know. I was like, I feel like if you asked us to Katai, he would have like 10 people right off the bat. He's always trying to like fight people. And
I would love to interview Katai for my podcast.
He is hilarious. Like, he is a really hilarious boy. Fight a celebrity.
Let me off guard on that one.
It's okay if you don't have an answer. It's okay.
One of the Real Housewives.
One of the Real Housewives. They look crazy. Have a couple of mimosas and go at it.
Oh, I can't really think of anybody.
Maybe. I don't even know if this is his name. Seth Rogen. Is that his name?
You want to fight Seth Rogen?
Yeah, he's annoying to me.
He's just a fat stoner.
Yeah, but I don't know. He's just annoying.
All right, Akiva's going to fight Seth Rogen. Oh, my God. Okay. All right, and the last question of the lightning round. What is the best Tupac song ever written?
Ooh.
God, okay, I have to say, like, okay, we were, like, obsessed with California Love because we were from Cali.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, all our church camps, there would be people from, like, out of state and stuff, you know? I don't know if you remember that.
Of course.
It was kind of, like, our way to represent, like, West Coast
and even like,
and Cali.
Yeah, and to live and die in L.A., that was also a good one.
Yeah.
Ugh. But okay, oh man, okay.
I really love Dear Mama too.
Yeah. And for some reason, Life Goes On is also like one of my favorite songs too.
I just love that you guys love Tupac. That's what I wanted the world to hear. Just like you sitting here listening songs is just like water when I was drowning. Like, I love it. Just the Tupac love.
I love
Tupac. I wish he was still alive. Honestly, I think about it.
Like, I remember for a while, I was like determined. I'm like, he is still alive. Like, he's still making music.
You thought he was living in Cuba?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember your youngest sister. She was a big Tupac fan.
Yeah. She had like a poster.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Tupac was all over.
I was so proud of her. Tupac and the Lakers. I was.
Mm-hmm. I think also because you were such a big influence in her life, she probably was like,
totally.
You know, so excited to.
This is a good influence, I think. She turned out all right, you know. Cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast. It just feels like I'm catching up with my old friends, you know. I love talking to you guys. It's been really cool. Hopefully, when this is over, I can come swing by the store. I'm diabetic now, so I don't know what I can eat at Hoppa Cupcakes.
Oh, we got you
on that.
A word?
Keto
cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That sounds good. If any of the listeners want to join me when COVID's over, we're going to go to Hoppa Cupcakes and get some keto snacks.
Yeah. We got vegan and gluten-free stuff. We have a little bit of something for everybody.
I love it. Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on my social media, and I follow you guys, your Akimi and Hanayo page and Hoppa Cupcakes and you personally. And I'll be scrolling and I'll see like all the cakes and I'm just like, oh Lord, like, if there was a way, if I wanted to die, I know exactly what I would do. I know exactly where I'll go to pick up some food because they all just look so good. And like the theming, it's just, you guys are so creative, and it's every time I see it, I'm so impressed, you know. And I'm really proud of you guys.
The social media, hands down, is Hanayo. She is like so good at getting good lighting and like captions and all that stuff. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
But our employees are great. They're the ones who create the product, a lot of it. And, you know, we'll come up with ideas and we just throw it at them. I'll like text them, hey, I want you to make this for me so we can post about it.
Dang.
So it's really our whole team.
Yeah. Shout out the Hoppa Cupcakes team. I love it.
Yeah. That's right. They're awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking some time. I know it's really busy for you. You guys are out there killing it. And
we'll always make an hour for you. Plus another hour to gossip before we get back.
That's what the people really want to hear is as soon as I stop recording, what's about to happen.
Hey, once you click unrecord, we're going to gossip again. So.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you.